This is Susie from In Your Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vosken. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vosken provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, to disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast at epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, Blueberry, and now on Stitcher Radio. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vosken, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 264, a podcast about life, love, about spirituality, about looking at life through the lens of the most ancient of all lenses, the Armenian Church, Armenian Orthodoxy, but it's polished up for today, and we call that look a Armodox look. Come and take one with us, take a next step with us, okay? This podcast is being brought to you as part of the expanding vision of the In Your Shoes mission. If you're ready, I know I'm. Let's take the next step. Hey, how you doing? It was like a gateway to the homeland. How's that, huh? A gateway to the homeland. I sent off my youngest son just a couple hours ago to Armenia. He's part of a group called the Christian Youth Mission to Armenia. It's organized by the Western Diocese, and he's one of 11 young people going out there, ages 17, 18, 19 years old, and they are being organized under a great leader, Father Avedi Sabovian. Just a wonderful man who has really done some incredible things in his short time as a priest. And this gathering is going out to Armenia to do some internship. This is an ongoing project of the Western Diocese, and actually this group that's going out there is going to be doing a project in northern Armenia, putting together a youth center for specifically Sunday school, for religious education. It's really wild, you know. I'm really excited about it. I'm very excited that my son's a part of it. But as we were saying goodbye to him at the airport, this was really tough, you know. I got to tell you this, you know, it's like a couple thoughts, okay? Couple thoughts I got to share with you, okay? One as a father, one as a son, okay? First of all, saying goodbye to your son, you realize he's going for a month. Even though he's going to a nice place, it's Armenia, he's going to the homeland, okay? Along that corridor, you realize that as you're looking there, that is the gateway. That basically, here in Los Angeles, at LAX, it's a romantic idea, really. You're looking down that gateway, and you're seeing that door that leads to the aircrafts. That is the gateway to the homeland, basically. Because for us here in the diaspora, for us sitting here literally on the other side of Earth, 12 time zones away, that's basically it. You're looking down that corridor, you see that door leads to the homeland. But in the same sense, I also thought about, wow, you know, okay, as a parent, we're excited right now because he's going, and we have all of the modern conveniences to stay in touch. And that's exciting, too, because, you know, of course you have telephones, but who wants to pay telephone prices, you know? So luckily, look at what we've got. It's not even you can send a postcard. You can just get on Wi-Fi. You can Skype. You can call. You can text. There are so many different variables in the equation of communication. In fact, last night we were just sitting around and kind of like going through the last minute notes when I just learned of a real exciting one called Viber. Yeah, Fiber! How's that? Okay, downloaded the app, and basically over Wi-Fi you can call, you can text, you can do everything over Wi-Fi. Whereas Skype you can do, you know, pictures and everything. This one you could actually call to another phone. The phone number becomes the person. So there's some pros and cons to Viber, to Skype. But basically, here's the bottom line. You're able to communicate at light speed, at the speed that electrons fly over these networks. Exciting. Well, exciting certainly for us as parents today, but then I think about what did I put my parents through. Okay, I went to Armenia back in 1977. Okay, let's rewind. Yeah, stop it right there. That's 1977. Okay, so let's go back. 1977. I went to seminary. I was 21 years old. I went to the Holy See of Etchmiadzin. And this is during Brezhnevian Soviet Union. And to leave America, the comforts of America, you would think that I would be a hero in the Soviet Union. But it was my visa betrayed me. I was only going there for a year or two to study. But what did I put my parents through? I mean, I'm thinking about that now. There was no means of communication. One letter that would be sent to me would definitely find its way to me at the seminary, all opened. Many times my mom would try to sneak me some coffee inside of the envelope. And of course, it was all gone by the time it got, everything was opened up and inspected. There was a massive censorship. And phone calls, forget about it. I think in that entire year, I was able to speak, not to my parents, but actually a friend who had gotten in a line, and I was able to speak to a friend during that entire year. That was my only call. Mail would take one month to get to me, 1 month to reply. And I think about that often. You know, what did I put them through? It's like, you know, okay, your son's going, and you'll see him maybe, you know, if the KGB doesn't get to him. But somehow we made it through. And interestingly enough, I was just talking about this with my cousin, my cousin's family, who was living in Armenia at the time. And her father would pick me up from Etchmiadzin every week, and we would go to Yerevan to their house on Friday after school, and then I would return back to Etchmiadzin, the seminary, Sunday morning in time for to be appointed to one of the churches where we would be serving. And you know, I was thinking about that, 1977. We didn't even have phone service between Etchmiadzin and Yerevan, which is about maybe about a half an hour drive. Yeah, there was phone service, but we didn't use them. I think it was like 5 kopecks or something. You put in a thing, but it never held. I mean, I remember being at class sessions. This is a true story. I was at class sessions with the Venerable Patriarch, His Holiness Vazgen I. He would teach us once a week. And this was only after I was ordained a deacon. He would teach us in his own office. I believe it was psychology classes. There was another name to it, Hokepanutun, but it was more of like a pastoral psychology that he would teach us. And during the class sessions, his phone would ring, and he would answer, "Alo." This is the patriarch of all Armenians, the Catholicos. Hello? And basically tell the person, no, you got a wrong number, because phones just didn't work. And we would always laugh about this. I mean, like, can you imagine getting the wrong number, and the wrong number is the Pope, you know? And so there was just this massive lack of communications. And here it is today, just 30, 40 years later, where just there's an overabundance of communication means. Not only telephones, there are, forget about telegrams, telegraphs, those are finished. Back in 77, that was probably the fastest way you could get a message out, was telegram. There was an office, it was called the Post, which was a derivative of the post, I guess. You would go there and Morse code. I don't think that even exists today. I think Western Union's in some other business right now. But this is what it came down to. You know, back then it was just this lull in communication, and today we have this overabundance. You basically can connect to anybody you want in the world, virtually, in virtually. You could in vitro. You can do whatever you want to, and it is just a different world that we're living in. That's beautiful and at the same time scary too. That leads us to what we're going to be talking about. Of course, the Supreme Court makes a big decision about sexuality, about human sexuality, and about marriage. It talks about homosexual marriages akin to heterosexual marriages. What is the Armenian Church? What is the Armodoxy? What is the Orthodox Church Communion say about this? We're going to be talking about that in a few minutes. A few other things that we're going to be talking about from the news. I'll be back right after what we do every week. We start off with the song of the week. So here is one of my favorites, Maria Matosyan, doing Hayastani Akhchikner. Girls of Armenia, enjoy. Oh, I love her voice. She is so pure. There's just something very special and fresh about that voice. That is Maria Matosyan. I will have a link on today's show notes so you can check out not only this song, but all of her wonderful music. Do check it out, as everyone we play over here is fantastic, right? Anyway, I hope you enjoyed it. You know, I was just thinking before we went to the song, I mentioned that all the things that we're going to be talking about today, we're going to be looking at the Supreme Court decision regarding same-sex marriage. It's coming up in just a couple of minutes, but I realized that I didn't say that we have Anush with our pomegranates. Actually, we do have her and we don't have her. We do have her as part of the Apostle family. And as you found out last week, Anush's pomegranates, well, they just started blooming in a new podcast, Inside the Pomegranate. And you do want to check that out. That is at epostle.net. Just go right to our website, and you know, you could see all of our programming right there. And if you scroll down the page, there it is, Inside the Pomegranate. Yes, and that beautiful lady in that picture with the inside of a pomegranate is none other than Anush. And here she is to tell you about that new podcast.
This is Anush, and I'm excited about my new podcast, Inside the Pomegranate. I happen to love pomegranates, not only for the incredible fruit that they are, but for the beautiful symbolism that they stand for. The pomegranate is one of the most recognizable symbols of our homeland of Armenia. In Armenian mythology, it was the symbol of fertility, good fortune, and a guardian against the evil eye. This beautiful fruit adorns our stone-carved khatkars and manuscripts. Go to any Armenian art event and you're sure to find pomegranates in the artwork. It's our symbol. For me, it's a symbol of my heritage, and it's also the symbol of imagination, creativity, and life. I mean, open up a pomegranate and look at the seeds that spill out. Each one is ripe with hope, possibility, and sweetness. It's a lot like life, right? My life is full and juicy like a pomegranate. And that's what this podcast will be all about. Life, ripe and juicy. So I hope you tune in weekly and take a peek inside the pomegranate. We'll talk about all kinds of things. Life, family, applied Christianity, helping the homeless, creating, imagining, wellness. It's all here inside the pomegranate.
Inside the Pomegranate, it premiered on epostle.net as its own podcast just last week. You do want to check it out, and like all the programming on epostle, you know, it's apostolic evangelism for an expanding universe. And like all of our program, it is just available for the download. So do check it out at wherever you download podcasts, whether you go on our website, whether you go on the Blogspot, whether you go on Stitcher Radio, Blueberry, or the old classic way to get it, on iTunes. Or how about this? If you've got a smartphone, and who doesn't? Well, actually, I should say, and who doesn't who's listening to us, okay? Just go and download our app, and you pick up the app, and you got all kinds of stuff on there. Anyway, I hope you enjoy it. I know you're going to enjoy it. That is a double reeded instrument called the zurna. Nice sound, huh? And the drum, the dahul, with the dahul and zurna, and that's the way they escort the new bride and groom into their wedding party, basically escorting them into their new life. And of course, this week, a new life wedding has been at the top of the charts, people talking about it, because just a couple days ago, the United States Supreme Court made a ruling on homosexual marriage. And this is really causing a lot of people a lot of grief, a lot of anxiety, and a lot of confusion. So I thought, you know, let's hit it straight on. You know, definitely there is something to be said here on the Armadoxy Show, here as the next step. Although, as you're going to see in a few minutes, it really doesn't have too much to do with religion as much as it does with politics. Interestingly enough, just this year, the Supreme Court, just in this session, was supposed to also look at another case which involved the rights of states. The rights of states, and this case had been brought up specifically because of issues having to do in a case called Movsesyan versus Victoria Virashurang. And this was basically brought up the issues, do the states have a right to go after governments? And of course, it involved the Armenian Genocide. The United States Supreme Court didn't want to discuss that because of the politics with Turkey, and you know, by the way, you know all of that. Okay, let's not fool ourselves. Okay, there is real politics in the world, and we're not going to jeopardize our billions and our loyalty with these big superpowers because of a small group of Armenians, are we? You see, it's not about truth and justice. It's about politics. That's it. Come on. Let's get with the program over here. Okay, now let's look at the decision that was handed down this week by the Supreme Court. Let's understand it for what it is. And in the sense of politics, in the sense of legality, I think that this is a beautiful step. Basically, the Supreme Court said that homosexual couples should enjoy the same rights as heterosexual couples. And I think that this is an important step in terms of equality. Okay, that in other words, you look at a person and you shouldn't say that this person is less of a person, has less rights, has less opportunities because of his, well, of because of his skin color, because of his religious persuasion, or because of his preferences, may they be sexual or otherwise. It shouldn't matter what the person's desires are when it comes down to equality. And so, in a sense, that this was a very important decision that was handed down, important historically, and important to say that basically we all are equal. We all are endowed by our Creator by those same inalienable rights. And this is given to us in the Declaration of Independence and certainly through the Constitution. And now the Supreme Court came out. So I really applaud them in this decision, that they basically said that homosexual couples can enjoy the same rights. And really, certainly when you look at a couple, you know, they've been a couple, let's say they've had a domestic partnership for 20, 30 years, and then one couple passes away, it's unfair to say that the other couple doesn't have the right to claim property, to claim, well, just even the visitation. Okay, so many times, you know, you have this situation of near-death opportunities for one couple to be there. And so in that sense, I think that this is really a step forward in terms of human rights. But here's the confusion that comes up. Some people will mistaken what the Supreme Court decision was with what marriages in the context of the church. And I think this is very, very important that we understand that there is a basic difference of terminology and what we are talking about. Basically, the issues that are at play right now. The Supreme Court can make all the decisions it wants. It cannot tell the church. It cannot tell the church what a marriage is. Okay? It can recognize different kinds of marriages, and that's within its prerogative. But the church recognizes marriage, and when it says the holy matrimony, the sacrament in the Armenian Church, or in the Orthodox Church, in the Roman Catholic Church, basically in Orthodoxy, the sacrament of marriage in the Armenian Church is the union of one man and one woman. And they come together in that sacrament to be united in Christ. That is what marriage is. Now, this is very, very important. I want you to listen to this really carefully. That is a definition. It is not a judgment. That is a definition. The definition of holy matrimony, of marriage in the Armenian Church, is the union of one man and one woman. That is a definition. It's not to say that this person is evil. It's not to say that this person is immoral and this person is not. It's to define what marriage is. Okay, just as the Supreme Court has decided that marriage in legal parameters, because it is the state that recognizes the union, and this you should know, I mean, at least here in the United States, a couple to get married in my church or in any church has to produce a license. That license gives them the permission to get married legally, and until I sign it, that license is no good. So there is an interaction between church and state at that point. But a priest does not have to sign it or does not have to perform a marriage if it is not within the understanding of what marriage is in his particular communion. Okay, so that being said, let's understand that within the Armenian Church there's a definition. What the Supreme Court did was a ruling which was very important. It basically talked about equality and compensation for that equality. And you shouldn't confuse the two. Now, I'm going to take it a little bit more. What is the whole purpose of marriage in the first place? And this, you gotta really understand this. It's not just a question of the Christian church. Actually, all religions that recognize marriage, union. Actually, all civilized societies. Forget about religion. Forget about faith. All civilized societies recognize marriage for one basic fundamental reason. And no, it's not about love. It's not about, oh, I can't live without you. It's for the protection and the stability of the family unit, namely the children. I know this is going to bother a lot of people, but it's for the children that people get married. In other words, you get into a union, you get into a marriage, so that the children have some kind of protection. Because otherwise, who's going to care for those children? Now, so why do I say this? Because to me, these children are the most valuable. Now, you know, you've been following my ministry. You know what we do here on The Next Step. You know how diverse we are with the In His Shoes mission. Well, what we started last year was the Dativ Outreach. And we started looking at some situations that are beyond belief, that are horrifying, horrible, appalling, namely domestic violence. You know, I've shared this with you in the past. I think that in life, you know, there's very few absolutes. You know, can you tell me something that is an absolute? Some people might say, you know, lying. Well, you know, that it's okay to lie in certain situations, right? And the classic situation comes up during World War II. The Nazi soldiers are at the door and saying, are there any Jews in the house? We're going to kill them. And you lie and you say, no, there are not, even though they're hiding under the couch or under the bed. That lie is okay, right? I mean, there are certain times it's okay to lie. Same thing with killing. We sometimes set up. Augustine talks about this, about wars, about justifiable killing. Justifying in the sense of protecting the self, right? Self-defense. It's okay to kill for country, for preservation of the family. There's different sets of circumstances. Now, I want you to tell me one thing that is an absolute, where you can't weasel around. And I'll tell you what it is. Rape. I've thought about this many times, that of all the crimes that there are, rape is the one that you can't find any condition under which it is acceptable. And we're seeing this. We're seeing domestic violence. We're seeing more and more women who are coming forward. This has been something that has been that has existed since the beginning of time, since the first man dragged his woman out of the cave from her hair and she just got scraped up against all the dirt on the ground. And he beat her. And it continues until today. But now, at least women are finding the courage to come out and talk about it. I'm going to put a link on our show notes today to an article that appeared just a couple days ago. It's called Till Death Do Us Part. It's about a young woman who committed suicide in Armenia because she was the victim of domestic violence. And these things are they are just not only not acceptable, they are appalling. When you look at a society that we're living in, we're talking about marriage in terms of protecting and preserving the family. Okay, you have heterosexual couples that are just basically all screwed up. Okay, and this is where marriage and the laws of marriage should be protecting people. I'm very happy to tell you that here in our Western Diocese, our primate, Archbishop Hovnan Derderian, took a very, very bold and decisive action this past week. I'm so, so excited. And this all came about because of what we're finding out in Dativ Outreach about the alarming situation about domestic violence. And with it is coming out new evidence about the alarming number of children that are involved in foster care systems. And these are things that we're looking into, that we are actually taking a step forward. And I'm very proud to say that our primate, Archbishop Hovnan, he has now declared that the year 2015, that's in a year and a half, we're taking some time, but marriage counseling is going to be mandatory before a person can get married in the Armenian church. Okay, some of you may be shocked. You say, well, isn't it until now? No, it hasn't been. It hasn't been mandatory, okay? Most priests will do it. Most priests will counsel. But there's always a lot that will slip through the cracks, especially when you've got these big situations such as here in the Los Angeles area. We've got weddings every weekend, 2, 3, 4 in a church, every day of the weekend. And these are couples that slip through the cracks. So this is a very, very big step that is being taken, and one that I'm very proud to be a part of. Proud in the sense that we were able to uncover so much stuff. Now, all of this being said, who are the people that need to be served but the kids? So again, marriage has a purpose of protecting those children. So when you look at unions taking place, you've got to also look at some of the situations that are being caused, some of the outward expressions of those unions. So it's very easy to sit back and say, oh, those horrible homosexual marriages, those are going to mess up all of society, and not look at what's going on in the heterosexual world. And this is why I'm saying it's very important that we understand the parameters under which we speak. The Supreme Court decision was about politics, it was about equality, it was about the legal system. What the church does in terms of marriage is about a union that brings together a man and a woman. And this is within the prerogative of the church to say that this is how we define marriage. Now, you can argue that within the church, and certainly we see that in the Episcopal Church, and I think that that's a very healthy argument, that, you know, people have come forward and said that, wait a minute, that union has to be beyond a man and a woman. But that is another discussion. It is not the discussion that came out of the Supreme Court. I'm hoping I'm making this clear. It's very important. What happened, the Supreme Court decision was not about morality. Because I know that there are a lot of preachers, I know even within the Armenian Church, within Orthodoxy, there are priests, there are ministers of the gospel who are out there and are spinning it to be taught as to say that the Supreme Court decision was basically undoing moral fibers. It's not about morality. It's not. You want to talk about morality? Let's talk about these kids that are in foster care, foster homes, because their parents have beat them so badly. Let's talk about these women who are the victims of domestic violence. You want to talk about morality? Let's look at the alarming rate of abortion that's taking place within our communities as a mean of contraception, as a means of birth control. You want to talk about morality? Let's talk about the decay of society because of our love for the self and for the ego rather than the community, rather than the family. You see, the morality card can be played in many ways. It's easy to find the bad guy and point at the bad guy and say that it's his fault, that there is a moral decay. What's tougher is to look within and to see that it's all around us. That is why our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, never, never denied anyone. He never said no to anyone. The only person that he denied, that he rejected, let's use that word, was the hypocrite, right? I mean, he took the prostitute, that's the most famous one. The one that I love is the thief on the cross. Thief on the cross, he's a thief. We don't even know what he's been hanged for. And yet Jesus, in his mercy, not only does he accept him, he gives him paradise. Doesn't say, hey, come on, let's get down, let's get you baptized. He doesn't say, oh, will you accept me as your personal savior? No, right there, on the spot, he gives him paradise. And Jesus says yes to every kind of person. The only person we see over and over through the Gospels is the hypocrite. And who is the hypocrite? Yes, it's one who lives by one that talks one standard and lives by another, lives by one standard and says another. But more importantly is the person that is self-righteous, that believes that he or she does not have sin, that will point the finger at other people and say they are the ones with sin. And those are the ones that Jesus couldn't tolerate. He tolerates everyone. I'll never forget about a year or so ago when it was on a Apostle program. I believe it was on the Compass program, where Archbishop Vaclav Hovsepian, very clearly, I never forget that moment. He was asked the question, what about homosexuality? And he says, it is a sin. And you just like, okay, well, this is typical. I mean, here's the highest ranking clergyman in the Armenian church. Well, we expect him to say that. But we don't listen to what he's saying after that. He said it is a sin for the church to reject anyone because Jesus did not reject anyone. And when he said that, I just woke up for a moment. I said, exactly. This is what we're fighting about. The church does not have the right to reject anybody. And we understand that we are all sinners. We all have our problems. We've all lied, steal, cheat. We all do all kinds of stuff. And this is why Jesus says, first, remove the plank, that big giant log that's preventing you from seeing the speck in your brother's eye. We do just the opposite, don't we? We walk around and we see the specks in other people's eyes, and we make them into logs. We make them into big production, all along not realizing that the log is in our own eye. The plank is in our own eye. And Jesus says, stop it. You don't have the right to judge. You don't have that right. Remember the tax collector and the Pharisee going up into the temple. What does the Pharisee say? He says, thank God I'm not like that man. Thank God I'm not like him, a cheater, an adulterer. Jesus says, what are you talking about? All of you are off the mark. There is only one that is perfect. And hey, listen, it's not you. Think about that for a moment. How easy it is for us to identify other people as the culprit and not look within to ourselves and see that we have so much to improve. There is a story that comes out of the Gospel of John. It is the last story in the Gospels. It comes to us from the Gospel of John chapter 21, and I invite you to go read it. It is so beautiful. It is one of my favorites. It is after the resurrection of our Lord, and Jesus and Peter are walking along, and Peter makes a note. He notices. He looks back behind them. They're walking. Peter and Jesus, they're walking, and he looks and he sees another one of the disciples walking a little ways off from them. And he turns to Jesus and he says, what about this man? What's going to happen to that man? Jesus turns to Peter and he says, if I decide that he's going to stay, he's going to be here until I return, what's it to you? Follow me. You see, this is where this is so important. Many times we're so consumed with other people's lives, we're wondering, what about this guy? What about homosexuality? What about these people who are doing things not like us? Jesus says, it's between them and God, not between them and God and you. If it is my will that he stays, if it is my will that he be saved, if it is my will that he live forever, what's it to you? Your job, and he says it to Peter, is to follow me. Think how beautiful that is. What a beautiful lesson we have to learn in that small little story. It's found in John chapter 21. Follow me. Don't worry about everybody else's life. Don't worry what's going to happen to other people. And certainly, with this decision that was handed down by the Supreme Court, we have an opportunity to really put this story in perspective, to sync it up, to say that, okay, you know, the Supreme Court has made a decision, and really applaud it, because there is an opportunity to see some good in there, to see the opportunity for equality. I mean, this is beautiful when you look at the entire civil rights movement, right? What was it? That it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. You are a human being. And therefore, you have the certain inalienable rights of every human being. And therefore, we are all children of God. And therefore, when we argue, it is like there's a classic thing. My mom used to say, we as kids would go up to her and we'd say, hey, mom, who do you like best? Like all good Armenian moms, she would take out her five fingers, not to smack us, but she'd say, which one of my fingers could I cut? And it wouldn't bleed. Obviously, they're all going to bleed. They're all equal. Yet one is a thumb, one is an index finger, one is a ring finger, one is a middle finger, one is a pinky. Each of them has their beauty. Each of them has their purpose. But each of them bleed. Each of them are part of the whole. And we each have differences, but we are all part of the whole. We do not have that right to look at other people and to make those judgment calls. That's up to God. Our job is to follow Him. And when we follow Him, then we start looking into the important issues. And the important issues is, how do we take care of this beautiful world that He's entrusted us with? How do we take care of those children that are now in foster care? How do we take care of those women who are being beaten? How do we take care of these issues of domestic violence? How do we spread the love that God has put into our heart? How do we make God's presence, the kingdom of heaven on earth, a reality? What does it mean when Jesus says, "Set your mind on God's kingdom, and everything else will follow"? We talk about issues that are political. We talk about issues that are divisive. Jesus was not political. He was not divisive. He was inclusive. He brought everyone together, and He brought them in harmony, in unity. Here is the challenge for us. As we look at this debate that is brewing, and you're going to hear all kinds of people talking about it, and I hope you'll share this message too with them too, because this is an Orthodox, it's an Armenian Orthodox approach to it. And I'm convinced when you look at the entire history of the Armenian people, this has been one of the cornerstones of it, is this understanding of tolerance, this understanding to be tolerant, to be compassionate, to be giving, to be loving, to remove the plank, to better see the small dust that's in our neighbor's eye. We have that opportunity not right now to stand up within the tradition of Armenian Orthodoxy. As Armadoxy, this is the message that comes to us. Take advantage of it. Let it breed within you, and share it with others. Hey, I bet you didn't know we're celebrating our fifth year here at Epostle. Here is Susie to tell you how you can get involved.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
I'm sure the message that you heard today, especially about this very controversial message on the outside, I got to tell you, in the newspaper I read a story about some provocative issues within the Armenian church. You'd be surprised what they are about. Provocative, are you ready for it? Provocative issues in the Armenian church. This is true. This is in last week's Armenian Observer newspaper. The provocative issues is, should women wear scarves in the Armenian church? Provocative issue, should everyone take communion every day? Provocative issue, why is the divine liturgy so long? You know, these questions are really absurd when you look, given the reality of what's going on in the world. If you are at the divine liturgy, you need to connect with God, because you have a world to deal with. You've got wars, genocide, you've got issues going on in Syria. You've got them going on in your backyard. You've got them going on in your family. And that divine liturgy has to connect with your reality, with your life. That's what we try to do here on in at Apostle Ministry. It's a very easy idea. It's the idea that, you know, the apostles were the ones who took Christ's message out to the people, and they used the means that they had. We're using the means that we have, basically this electronic forum. And the way we got started was just a few years ago. You know, we realized that we ran out of room. We were in Glendale, and we've got a ministry thriving. We've got so many people coming, and there's no room. And we can't expand. We can't expand vertically, horizontally. There's just no room to expand. So we said, let's do it virtually. Let's use the means that God has given us. And so we went out. We started our podcast. That was 5 years ago. And we're now in our sixth year producing these podcasts for you. So proud of the adventures. Hey, if you didn't get a chance, I want you to check out last week's Compass. Fantastic, fantastic episode. If you haven't already, subscribe to Inside the Pomegranate. These are two incredible programs that we have. Of course, we have the sermon series. We have a video series called Armenian Christianity Today. We have some podcasts that are staples, the Lenten Journey. And I'll tell you, I get emails from people in the middle of summer, sometimes in the middle of winter. People call me and they send me an email and they say, hey, thank you for the Lenten journey. It's not Lent, yeah, but it's 40 days. And we followed it. We did it. And these are blessings that come out to you. When you connect with the apostle, you're saying yes to this kind of ministry. And I want to invite you to do as Susie said and become part of this ministry. And so you become a part of this family. We are at the end of today's show. This Sunday, we're going to be celebrating our fifth anniversary here in Glendale. If you happen to be in the area, if you happen to be in the States, I know we've got such a big contingent out there in Europe, in Armenia, in the Middle East. I want to just invite you, if you're out this way, you never know, if you are, please do stop by. We're in Glendale at the corner of the Stalker and Meanwhile, do check us out at our website, In His Shoes, and our website, epostle.net. Check us out on Facebook. Follow St. Peter Armenian Church, the Key Publication, all kinds of places that you can find us. Hey, I want to thank you for joining us today. On behalf of our producer, Susie, on behalf of our webman, Father, this is Father Boskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
You're seeing the same sky as we are.